Praise the Lord. I am on, I guess. Amen. The sound system sounds different to me this morning. Does it sound different to you all? I believe the Lord's healed my hearing. Amen. I just want to share something before I get into the message this morning. Isaiah tells us, in Isaiah 55, it tells us, "So shall my word that be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Amen. So with that being said, I want to read you a word today, if I can find it. I'll have to find what I did with it. I had it. That the Lord gave. Well, maybe it's in here. Here it is. And kind of goes along with the scripture there. So grab a hold of this word this morning, then we're going to get into the message that I believe that God has given me. Well, when God's word goes forth, it does not what? Return to him void. It says, "Would I utter forth a word from my mouth and not cause it to come to pass? Would I decree a thing only to allow it to fall to the ground void? I'm the God of the possible. I am God of the possible. And what I have spoken, it shall surely be, says the Lord. Look to me and only me, and believe that what you say you shall have. Say to the mountain, be no more, and so shall it be. Circumstances may say different. Opportunities will come to cause you to doubt. Friends may impose. But my word shall stand, and it shall be as you believe. So when the times of testing comes and the winds of adversity blow, allow the wind of my Holy Spirit to blow away the clouds of adversity, and surely you shall see the sun, S-O-N, shine through again." Wow. "Arise to the occasion, arise and be counted as one of the faithful. Arise, no longer sitting back, but lend me your hand so that I can touch, so that I can feel, and lend me your feet so I can go, and lend me your eyes so that I can see, and lend me your life of service to me be. I'll surely come in the midst of your life and cause a new thing to take place, a new thing that you've not yet to experience. Let go and let me. Let go and watch me move in ways that surely you can only say it is by the hand of God that this is so. Look up. Ahead, for the best of your life is just ahead. I've indeed prepared a place for you, a place of knowing complete joy in me as God. Rest assured, you have as of yet to experience my fullness of love to you. So take my hand and let's go to places, heights, yes, heights in me, and a depth of my spirit where deep calls into deep. The foundation of your making have all been broken up, and I've laid a foundation of security, one that I can build upon, a foundation where winds and rains of this life cannot sweep away. Stand up, my sons and daughters, and you shall indeed see the salvation of your Lord. Look to me and only me for your complete deliverance. Look to me and only me as your source. I have and will come through every time. And am I not Lord? Do you not have a covenant with me? Believe on those covenant promises and hold fast, stand firm, and it shall be as you desire, says the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for that word, that now word that you've given us this morning, God. We come against every distraction in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are continually welcome into this place today, that we have ears to hear what you might have to say today, and that we may see like we never have before with our spiritual eyes, being open and being alert at all times at what you are doing. Thank you for that today, Lord. Fill this place with your glory today. As I stand and minister this word today, Father, I thank you for the anointing of that word, for the anointing you've given me to minister that word with clarity and precision and wisdom, God, that I speak only what I hear your heart say, Father, and that my words will be seasoned with love in everything that I say, and that we leave this place today say it's been a joy to be in the house of the Lord, It's been a joy to praise you and to worship you and to magnify you and to lift you up today, God. It's been a joy to be in the house of the Lord and fellowship with like believers, to see your will done in our lives, God. And we're so thankful for that today. And everybody said amen. Well, today is one of those messages where I was thinking, you know, this is not something new. I think everybody that's going to be in the house today will know this word. It's something we know, but it's an area where we're constantly challenged as Christians, that the devil is constantly challenging us in this area. And it is something we are to never forget and renew our minds with, and that is who we are in Christ, our identity. It's a message that we need to hear over and over again, because there is power in knowing who you are. And remember I said a few times that it's more frustrating than to give a job to do and no one gives you instructions on how to do it. No one really gives you the authority to do it. It says this is what you need to do or whatever. Then you go in there thinking, you know, because you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're doing. But thanks be to God, he has given us the instruction manual to look into and find out who we are, what we're here for, amen, and why, and the purpose, and all those good things can be found in the pages of this book. And everything in this book is for our life now, because when we get to heaven, we won't need anything in here. Because it'll all be fulfilled. But we need some help on the way. We need some healing on the way. We need some help on the way. Until we get to heaven, amen? So there may be times in the lives of people, or maybe our lives at one time, who we don't like who we are. If I was born to different parents, you know, my life would have turned out different. My life would have been different. Or maybe if I was a different race. Or maybe if I was born a boy, things would be different. Or born a girl, things would be different. Or if I was born in a different part of the county or a different part of the world, you know, my life would be different. We could go on and on. So, but what people are doing, they're basing their identity on what ifs. You're basing your identity on what ifs. So I have to say that God who spoke light to darkness makes no mistakes. Amen. The God who spoke light to the darkness makes no mistakes. And I was born October the 12th, 1961, to a girl, a female, to Robert and Louise McClisher by God's design. The one that makes no mistakes. The master designer. That was my physical birth. I have a physical birth certificate to prove that. My parents' name, the hospital where I was born, the doctor, the time I was born, how much I weighed, and all that stuff. I grew and identified myself, and other people identified me as being a McClister. Amen? Which could be good or bad, however how you look at it. So that's how I was identified. So I took on the identity of being born into that family. And that's how I began to live my life, because of that identity of what I did surrounding me. That's who I was in the flesh and the natural. This is proof of my being here naturally, but not spiritually alive. Because we all are born dead spiritually. There was another birth that took place in my life. Hallelujah. Much later, after much trial and error, after much grief and my own making a lot of times, after a lot of things happened in my life that I had no choice over, and things that happened that I did have a choice over, but decided to do it anyway. That was my spiritual birth. Woo! And I have amen in the house today. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! That ought to make you shout this morning if you're saved. Amen. That ought to make you happy. Amen. Ephesians 2:4-5 tells us, but because of his great love, because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Woo! It is by grace that you have been saved, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Even though I was alive physically, my spirit man was dead until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And this life that I now live is not just eternal life in heaven, and that's where a lot of people stop. I know the churches I was raised in never taught me there was anything more than that. You know, in the Baptist church, there's a heaven and hell, and you need to do what you can do to stay out of it, even though you were saved. Your main goal in life was to stay out of hell. But you were saved, but you need to make sure you didn't go to hell. So the life that Jesus gives us is not just eternal life in heaven, but spiritual life on earth that empowers us to live out the purpose for which he created us. Wow. He has empowered you to live this life in this earth now. And it all flows from you knowing who you are, because there is power in you knowing who you are. Your spirit, I liken it to a deflated balloon that was just there before you accepted Jesus Christ. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of you at your birth, at your spiritual birth. And that Greek word for spirit is P-N-E-U-M-A, which means breath or wind. Woo! Ha! When you got saved, glory to God, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And that is when you really became alive and really started living. You thought you were living before that, but you weren't. Yes. Why? Because you was ruled by your flesh and did just whatever your flesh wanted to do. Amen? So at that moment, glory to God, but that moment of conversion, the breath of God fills that deflated balloon and our dead spirit comes alive. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. So this new spiritual life goes to work at that point. Goes to work at that point if we allow it to and get into the Word and begin to agree with what the Word says, transforms us into what we already are in Him. Because our spirit man is perfect. It's this outside that was stuff that we're trying to line up with the Word. Amen? So this new spiritual life goes to work transforming us into what we already are in Him. Amen? So 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't care how messed up you think you are, right at this moment you are standing righteous before God. You are standing righteous before God. It has nothing to do and everything to do with the position. It has nothing to do with what you're doing or can do or can't do. It's your position that he's already positioned you. And you've been positioned in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now you live from the spirit, from that spirit man, not the flesh. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, in this flesh that you see, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we're living this life, we don't live it to ourselves or from ourselves or in our own strength, but we live it through him. The flesh and the spirit then begins to war with each other. And you got a fight on your hands. But we don't do it in our own strength. Amen. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. You are at liberty to do whatever you want at your own choosing. And we reap the consequences of those choices. Amen? Because you reap what you sow. Just because my flesh and our spirit are at war with each other does not change who I am in Christ. That is why we get into the Word. We renew our mind to the things of the spirit life at that point. You will only go as far in your Christian life and your relationship with God and your walk with God as you renew your mind. Because your mind is going to take you where you're going to be led by where your mind takes you. And if you renew your mind with the Word, guess where it's going to take you? It's going to take you into spiritual matters, into spiritual living. So we can live a life in who we are, our identity as a child of God. I was born again spiritually, acknowledging I am a sinner and I'm in need of the grace and mercy of God. Believing he died on the cross, shed his blood for the remission of my sins. Ephesians chapter 1 tells me that because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, I am free. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of my misdeeds. And not just barely free, but abundantly free. You know, when God does things for us, he does it super abundantly. So we're just not barely free, but we are abundantly free. So the spiritual birth certificate divinely certifies that my name has been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Wow. Before God ever formed me, before God ever formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you, he knew me. Before he even brought us forth, he had fully determined who we are and established our identity in him. And the things that we go through in life has nothing to do with that. It doesn't cancel that out. You are who you are. And that nothing can change that. Nobody can change that. And nobody else's opinion of you matters at that point. It's only what God thinks of you. So when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that identity came alive in my spirit that was already there. That deflated balloon became inflated with the breath of God. Now I have a spiritual birth certificate in the vaults of heaven, so to speak. And when this life as I know it ends, I will get to claim my place. I will get to claim my place in heaven with my Savior and all the saints. And I imagine when I arrive at the gates, there may be a welcoming angel there. And maybe somebody, another angel, you need to go find her name. Now, I don't know if it's a scripture or not. They'll go to the vault. And there she is. Woo! And they'll bring that spiritual birth certificate back to the gates. And they'll begin to say, look here. That's her name right there. And it's written in the blood of Jesus. Woo! Come on in, that good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Not because of something you did, but all because of what Jesus did. And your name is written down on your spiritual birth certificate. After my spiritual birth, I was still a female. My parents are still who they are. I look the same on the outside, but my spirit is perfect. My spirit, man, is perfect. There's no mistakes there. The real me, who I was meant to be, has emerged. That is a spirit that has been born again. I'm no longer a sinner. And now I don't identify as a sinner anymore. Do I do sin and mess up? Yeah. Yeah. Do I like to slap people sometimes? Yeah. But still, I'm identifying as a Christian. Okay. Therefore, I do not identify as a sinner at that moment of spiritual rebirth. My spirit was reconnected back to the one who gave me life. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, who had not even laid down earth's foundation, had me on his mind, had settled on me as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt me into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted me to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift, giving by the hand of his beloved son. Wow. Even before the foundations of the earth, he had us in his mind. On his mind. Colossians 1:13 says, for he rescued me from the domain, literally authority, of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So if you are born again, I've got some good news. Darkness does not have authority over you anymore. Amen. And whatever is of darkness is not of God. So you have authority over it. That's not the kingdom you are walking in anymore. And in God's kingdom is where you're at right now. And all is well in God's kingdom. Jesus went to the enemy's camp and took back for us everything that life may have stolen from us.
And we sing that song, and sometimes we have to go there to remind him. You've got some of my peace, you've got some of my joy, and I'm coming to get back to get it. I've got pain in my body, and I'm coming back to get it. Ha ha. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But he went to the enemy's camp and took all that back for us that life may have stolen. And before we accepted him as Savior, as Redeemer, as Promise Keeper, as Light out of darkness, because that's who he is. I don't know what my life may have thrown at you, but you don't have to carry it around anymore. If you're saved and born again, then you're a child of God. Throw the baggage on his shoulders. He paid the price for it. And you don't have to carry it around anymore. Lay that baggage at the cross. Give it to Jesus. Get up, turn your back on it, and walk away from it. Because that's not where your identity is found. It's in the past. Leave it there. We that are born again and live life in the kingdom perspective, doing life the Word way. Don't you like that, the Word way? You know, the Word way. I like that. Doing life the Word way. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that it's in Christ that we find out. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Finding our identity in Christ. Find out who we are and what we're living for. The single greatest thing a person can learn after they have received Jesus Christ as Savior is finding out who their identity is in Christ. Because without ever finding out, you're going to go through this life and get beat up, bruised, kicked around by yourself, by other people, by the devil. But once you begin to find out who you are, you can stand in authority like you never have before. Amen. The most important weapons of a warfare we have in living this life is our God-given identity. There's power, as I said, in that knowing. And once you begin to understand your identity as a child of God, you begin to live out from that perspective in life. In other words, you live life out of a stand of victory instead of a stand of defeat. You don't go into prayer defeated. You go into prayer saying, I'm going to pray and I'm going to talk to the Father about it, see what we can get to do about this situation. Amen. So when you go into prayer and warfare about something, go into it with an attitude of victory. Wow. It's a game changer in life when you begin to think that way and look that way. And the more I find out that I agree with the Word in my own life, the more I find out that my identity in Christ, the more I understand it, the more I confess it, the more I learn about it, the more I see it with my spiritual eyes, the more my behavior begins to reflect my God-given identity. And there's some people that I don't want to smack no more. Because I begin to see them as God sees them. So our behavior begins to change once we begin to learn who we are in Christ. Amen? So you begin to love the unlovable. You begin to have more compassion. Why? Because you are living from the perspective of who you are. And that's what Jesus would do. So in doing this, we are becoming who we already are. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I am working toward being who Jesus already says I am. And that comes out in our character, our integrity, our behavior in life, how we treat ourselves and how we treat others. The more we renew our mind with the Word, the more that we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. So when you begin to live from your identity as a child of God, the challenges of life will still be there. The things that used to take me weeks to get over, a long time ago, I've walked through it more quickly now because I'm learning more and more who I am in Christ, and I can stand on that authority, and he wants you to stand on that authority. He wants you to be bold and to stand in that authority, and the things that took you years to get over are going to happen quickly now. Amen? Because you're not going to tolerate it anymore, because you're going to be able to stand up and say, I'm going to speak out of my identity. That he said he transferred me out of this darkness. And all is well in the kingdom I'm living in. You take your hands off of these things, devil, in the name of Jesus. So there's authority and there's a boldness that comes in knowing who you are. That's where that power of knowing who you are comes in at. So we refuse to allow the challenges that come along in life to define who we are. God's opinion of us is all that matters, as I said. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us who we are. But you are a chosen people. Wow. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's special possession. Wow. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So there are four words in this scripture that tells us who we are, that we can identify with. That's our identity. He tells us we are chosen, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, and we're God's special possession. Wow. That ought to light your fire. Chosen, Ephesians 1:4 says, even as in his love, he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own. Woo! Chosen. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we what should we be then? Holy, consecrated, and set apart for him. And blameless. And blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in what? In love. He chose you because he loved you. Wow. And he sees you better than you see yourself. Amen. So the Apostle Paul uses the word elect when he speaks of being chosen. We are the elect of God. The elect of God means handpicked. When you look at that, it means handpicked. God handpicked you. He chose you. Chose you because what? Because he loves you. Wow. So that when you begin to fully understand what Paul is saying, you'll find it easier to walk in your identity. And we should constantly be learning and discerning about our identity in Christ. Because like I said, life throws us challenges. And the enemy will use those things to pull us away from that identity. So you'll begin to think, I'm chosen because of God. Of course he will heal me. Of course he will give me peace. I've been chosen by God. I'm handpicked by God. I've been set apart by God for him. Of course he will take care of everything I need. Wow. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. So knowing this should give us great confidence that God is going to see you through. No matter what you're going through right at this moment, sister, God says he's going to see you through. And he wants you to know that he's got your back. And the decisions you are making at this point on, it's going to be what he has on his mind for your life. And for you not to give in, give up, cave in, sit down, or shut up. But he said, stand up and begin to give him praise for what he is going to do. Even starting today, he says that you're going to begin to see a change in that situation in Jesus' name. So you begin to think, I'm chosen by God. This is the power in knowing that I referred to earlier. Royal priesthood, a holy nation. When we become sons and daughters of God, we come into direct royalty. We become direct royalty. Live because of the blood of Jesus. We now share the royal lineage of the king. We've inherited all of the promises of God. We now are having direct line to that inheritance. You know, you were adopted. An adopted child has more rights than one that you chose to have. You were adopted into the kingdom. They chose you. So when you adopt a child, you were choosing to have that child. A lot of us were surprises. But Jesus and mom and daddy loved us anyway. Amen. But he adopted you into his family. You were chosen. To be holy means to be set apart. You've been set apart. You are holy. You can't do anything to make yourself holy. Know that you're holy and that you're set apart. And the more you begin to learn about this, it gets easier and easier to have a relationship with Jesus. Because you're not putting yourself under condemnation all the time. That I should have, or maybe I should have, or I didn't, or maybe I didn't, or should, or whatever, you know. So we are as kingdom citizens set apart from everything, everyone else, and all the things that are going on in this nation at this time. We're set apart from all of that because we don't live in that kingdom. We pray for that kingdom, that world, but we don't live in that. That's not our identity.
We're set apart by a holy God. We're separated by His calling. Called out of an unholy nation to be a holy nation. We are a light in this unholy nation. So God has chosen you. You are the citizens in a heavenly government on earth, but we're aliens in this world. You should be uncomfortable in this world. You should not feel at home in this world. Because we truly are just passing through. And the older you get, the more you realize what short time we have here to make a difference. So the thing, and this, and I ran across this a few weeks or so ago, and I happened to think of it regarding identity. You remember the thief on the cross who begged for forgiveness in the last moments of his life must have been shocked when he stepped over the line into paradise after Jesus told him he would. Imagine this former thief walking the streets of gold, shocked at the robe he was given and the greetings he received from the angels. When he asked what it was all about, one of the angels told him, "You don't understand. You're a king here." The thief looked at the angel stunned. "A king?" he asked. "If I'd known I was a king, I would have never lived as a thief." So how many people in the body of Christ the enemy is stealing things from? And they don't know their identity. They don't know the authority that's in that identity. God's special, the word tells us in Peter that goes on and tells us God's special possession. You ever had that special possession in your life? Especially when you were a kid maybe or something, that one particular thing, nobody touched it but you. And that's what God looks at us. He said, "Get your hands off of him, devil. That's my possession." Special means surpassing what is common or usual. Exceptional, distinct among others of a kind. So we have been made unique, separate from others. We're peculiar, distinctive, and special from God. From point of view, because he has purchased us with his blood that was shed at Calvary. We've been marked with the blood of Jesus. And sometimes we have to get angry enough and say, and draw that bloodline and say, "That's it. That is it, no more." Amen. So why are all these things that you may declare? Why did he say that we're all these things? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. One translation reads, that you may show forth. Show forth simply means, which means to tell out. Show forth, which means to tell out. Refers to the preaching of the gospel, the good news. We're all called to be ministers of that gospel. But if you don't know who you are and why you are, showing forth the praises of him. So in closing today, the world will try to tell you who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you yourself will try to tell you who you are. People around you will tell you who you are. The enemy will try to tell you who you are. But I want you to encourage you that no matter what happens in your life, you are chosen and nothing can change that. You are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus and nothing can change that. Whether you behave wrong or whatever you may do, what everybody says, God looks at you and he sees somebody that's perfect that he loves very much. And the more you begin to understand your identity, the more you begin to understand that love relationship with Jesus, the more you'll want to do right. It's not because you have to. It's because you want to and you choose to. So I encourage you today to see who God says you are. Don't listen to any voice that tries to tell you that you're anything and other than what he has told you. Live life out loud by identifying who you are. Amen. And that is a child of God, saved by his grace for such a time as this. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for this word today that has encouraged us to go forth from this place today and remembering again who we are and the power and the authority that we have in that, and that we can stand in that identity as we identify as a child of God, as a son or daughter of God, and that we walk in that authority that you've given us to walk in, God. And even as you said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" He said, "I say that you're Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us, that we leave this place encouraged today and go out and offer someone else the hope that we have in you because of you. And I speak your blessings over these people in the name of Jesus, that they are highly favored of God, and goodness and mercy is running upon them to catch them, and your blessings are running upon them to catch them. And I thank you for that today, Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen.